Information Management and Technology will come to order. Today we're going to talk about Oregon's centralized voter registration system. And I know that I've heard from one of our members while they'll be late, but not the other two. We'll talk to them when they get here. And who do we have today, Travis?
We have the Secretary of State's office, and I will allow them to come forward and introduce themselves. I know one of them. And also, if I may take the opportunity, at each of your places are the original findings and recommendations and original, if you will, summary business case for the senior project that you requested. That it's being updated now. When it is updated, they'll be coming forward again with that.
But good, thanks.
Hi, for the record, I'm Jean Straight, and I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Secretary of State's office. And here with me today is Nitin Khanna, who is the president of Sabre Consulting, who is our consultant on the centralized voter registration project.
Good afternoon.
So, first of all, what I've handed out to you is a short summary of the project, which I'll go over in my testimony. And then also I've given you a copy of our federal compliance audit for the HAVA program in total, not just OCVR, but the whole HAVA program. We just got the results back on that and found no findings. In fact, they said we have been doing a great job. So I thought I'd share that with the committee. Just to give you a little bit of background, there was a federal law passed, which was Public Law 107252, which is the Help America Vote Act. And then there was state legislation passed, House Bill 2002, which gave the Secretary of State the right to proceed with the project. What HAVA does for the centralized voter registration system is it requires the states to implement a computerized statewide voter registration list defined, maintained, and administered at the state level. So that is what we are trying to accomplish. The counties, we've been working with the counties from the start, all 36 counties. They determined that it didn't make sense to just do the voter registration piece, that there's the whole other piece, the election management, putting on an actual election. And those are so integrated that it didn't make sense to just have one. So we ended up creating a system that has both centralized voter registration and election management. And that's what we're implementing. Like I said, we have been working with the counties from the start. They were part of our RFP, a request for proposal to select Sabre. We have a standards committee set up because with a centralized computer system, processes change, business processes changed. And so instead of us mandating what those would be onto the counties, we set up a standards committee that's comprised of county clerks, so that they could decide what those standards would be. They've been involved in development of the requirements. We have them involved in testing. And so they've been looking at it. And our goal has been to try to give them a system that works for what they do. Other partners that we've been working with is DAS. We have been working with DAS IRMD. We have three server sites set up for our infrastructure, the backbone of the project, and we have worked with DAS to locate where those will be in the state. There are three remote sites. There will be one here in Salem. There's one in Burns Archive Center, which is a DAS facility, and then we will also have one located in Eugene. So we've been working with them. We've been working with DAS security people. They've been reviewing our RFPs and giving us feedback. We've also worked with Homeland Security and the state police and had them review some of our policies and our procedures to just make sure that we've covered every base that we can on the security of this system. We're working with ODOT. Part of the bill, we need to have a download from ODOT to verify the correct voter information. So we're working with ODOT to get downloads from their system into ours to verify that. Back to our server racks, we have, this is the infrastructure piece of it. there are three servers. Within each of those server racks, there are redundancy within it. So if one of those servers went out, it would fail over to the next server to keep it working. If a whole rack went out, it will fail over to one of the other sites. This is to be totally seamless to the user. You know, all the data will be on all three sites. So it'll just, if there one site goes down, they'll fail over so that they won't not be able to work. For our security, we can't give you details of our security because, you know, we don't want people to be able to get into it. So we have followed best practices. We've also followed ISO 17799, which is a federal security standard. We are working with a quality assurance contractor who is looking at our risk. He's validating testing for us. That is InfoCentury. That's the company. And he is also working with many of other states on this exact same project, so trying to implement that. The other thing that we have done is we've hired an outside security consultant to come in and try to hack the system and then give us a report on where our vulnerabilities are so that we can fix those before we go live. Give you a little schedule. The deadline is to implement this by January of 2006. We were told by our quality assurance, as a side note, our quality assurance contractor, who is working with multiple states, said that there are 16 states that are going to make that deadline out of 50, and there's only four that didn't already have statewide systems. So, and Oregon is going to be one of those. We have a pilot project that we're implementing first, which is six counties that we're going to implement. That would be Hood County, Lane, Union, Josephine, Lincoln, and Multnomah. And we're implementing that in March. So we will, they're currently testing right now, and then in March we'll do data downloads, and they will start using the system, and then there is a May statewide election. We'll complete that successfully, and then we'll start rolling those out to the other 36 counties. The goal is to have all 36 counties on the new system by fall of this year. So we're hoping, goal is to be way before the January 1 deadline. Let's see, some other things. We do have demonstrations of the system that we're setting up for legislative staff and legislators. Those will be March 8th and 9th, and you'll be getting invitations. We'll have someone there to walk you through it to show you what the system does. And just to segue over to Nitin here, we have won the Government's Achievement Award, and this project has been able to benefit the local economy. Nitin is a Oregon employer, so I'll let Nitin talk a little bit more about the project.
Thank you, Jean. I just wanted to take a minute to thank both the Oregon Secretary of State and the State of Oregon. We're a local Salem-headquartered company, and when we won this project, Oregon was the first state in the country to come out with an RFP and issue a procurement for HAVA. And since we won that, Oregon's selection has been validated by three other states. Our system's now going to be used by the states of Missouri, Mississippi, and Iowa as well. Since we won that project, we had 10 staff in Salem. We've added 55 people in Salem over the last 14 months at an average wage of four times the county average. So the project's gone to benefit tremendously. Even though we're winning the business in other states, only two or three employees really reside in those states. For each three employees we're hiring in another state, we're hiring 10 employees here in Salem. So it's benefited the local economy tremendously, and we just wanted to thank the Oregon Secretary of State for making a local vendor selection, even though the competition was national vendors. So just wanted to take a minute to say that.
Do you have any questions?
Representative Burley, any questions?
The March 8th and 9th demonstrations, is that going to be here in Salem?
Yes, it is.
All
None at this time, Mr. Chairman.
The, one of the things that you talked about, security, is there another state agency that is responsible for oversight? This committee has become somewhat aware that security is an issue, and we want to ensure security of all state systems. Is there another agency that provides you some oversight so that they look at it a little differently than you do?
We've been working with DAS, IRMD security people, to have them look at it. We've also worked with Homeland Security and State Police to give us a different look and to see if we've missed anything. So, yeah.
Who would perform, my term, if you will, who would perform an audit of the Secretary of State's office to ensure that our system performs in the manner in which we expect it? Who would do that?
Well, we would have to hire an outside auditing firm to come in and do that. Since the audits division is part of our agency, they don't have independence from us. So that, just like with our federal compliance audits on the financial side of it, we would hire an outside auditor to come in and audit that system.
Do a performance audit, so to speak. Has that been looked into? Has that contract been let, or have those people been contacted? And where are we in that process?
No, that hasn't been done yet. We will probably do that after all 36 counties are on board. Now, what we have done, though, is we are contracting with an outside consultant, security consultant, to come in and try to hack our system to give us input so that we can make our security better. And then once the 36 counties are on board, we'll hire an auditor to come in and audit the system to give us that report.
And up and running by this fall.
That's the goal.
Would that make us, with your company, the first one up and running, and will be a demonstration site for others?
Actually, the state of Missouri is also going into pilot on February 28th. So both Missouri and Oregon are hopefully live and in production by September.
And then one clarification. You talked about the number of states, and it seems like it was 32% of the states have a system. And then I'm not sure I understood. Oregon doesn't have, is one of the four that doesn't have, but will have a system.
Will have, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Out of 50, 16 will be compliant with the federal law. And out of those 16, only four are building new systems. The other 12 already had statewide systems, so they were already compliant with. So it's just giving you, and that's what our quality assurance contractor was telling us, and he's been involved across all 50 states. And to just kind of give you a little idea of the magnitude of what some of the states are facing.
And we've all heard horror stories about, and I assume an electronic system. Is there a paper trail behind the voter? Will we be able to go back and do a recount with paper? And I guess the first question would be, is that mandatory? What is the recount provisions that you have?
Well, and actually, this system doesn't do the counting. This is the voter registration. So this is when you register in one county, and like if you move to another county and went to that one, and they can change where you're. Right now, that's a fairly labor-intensive process. You know, one county just can't pull up, Marion County can't pull up Multnomah County's information and say, okay, you know, Jean Strait used to live in Marion County, now she lives in Multnomah County, and they can't verify that now. This will give them the ability to be able to see across all 36 counties in the state where someone is registered, where they're supposed to be registered, you know. So that's that piece of it. The election management piece of it is setting up petitions, putting a candidate in there, printing out ballots. The vote tally systems are a separate computer system that they run the ballots. That's the word I'm looking for, ballots. They run the ballots through those, and then those count them. So that's the paper trail that everyone is talking about, are the vote tally systems. This is a database that has, you know, the information for voter registration and then for running an election, and you can run reports. Some of you may have, for your campaigns, gone to your local counties and ran voter registration reports. This is the system that you get that out of. Did that answer your question?
More than answered my question.
Sorry.
Really straightened me up on a few issues.
Sorry.
No, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Cummel.
Sorry I was late getting here, but that does bring up a question then. On the vote tally system versus the voter registration system, when candidates call in to their counties or they go through a third party to get mm-hmm. to get this information, the only thing that this will show is whether someone has voted in an election, but it won't show how they voted. Is that correct?
Correct. That's my understanding.
Correct. That's correct.
So even if they're if they're Republican, they may have voted independently or for a Democrat, or so you don't know how a person has voted. And is there any way digressing for a moment, Mr. Chair, certainly with your indulgence, is there any way on the vote tally system that you can tell how a person voted other than to know that they have submitted a ballot?
Representative Cremel, I don't know. Those are the vote tally systems are housed in the counties. Those are their systems, and I don't really know how those work. So I mean, I can try to find out and get an answer back to you, but I don't know that.
Okay. As follow up, Mr. Chair?
Certainly, follow up, Representative Cremel.
Then as a, sort of combining the two here, and again, sort of digressing for a second. If a person is registered to vote in a county, is there going to be a way of, the county has the vote tally system? Is there at some point going to be a day when the vote tallies will be sent electronically, for example, on election night to the Secretary of State's office, so that you can actually get results out of the Secretary of State's office versus going to the individual counties?
Representative Cremel, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I've heard that has been talked about. That is a goal. I don't know that there is the funding there to make that happen, so I'm not really sure.
Yes, Representative Burley. Go ahead.
That's okay. It's my understanding that up until recently, all but three of the counties had the optical scanning equipment for the vote tally system, but that HAVA money was used to go ahead and bring those counties on board with optical scanning, so we do now have all 36 counties on optical scanning.
Representative Burley, that is correct.
And then the other question is the voter registration development system, how much is the development cost itself, and how are we doing that between general fund and HAVA matching dollars?
Well, I'll let Nitin speak to how much it's cost, because I don't have those numbers right at the tip of my finger. But currently, it's how we're handling the matching piece of the HAVA bill. It's a 5% match. And what we've done currently to get the money from the federal government is we've handled that match through Secretary of State employees that are being not paid out of the HAVA money or the federal money. We've been tallying their expenditures. We had to do some work on our computer room to house this server rack, and so we counted that. I paid for that out of my budget. So that's how we're handling it. We asked for $270,000 general fund. I'm not remembering. It was during e-board.
Right.
Quite a while ago to start doing some planning work, and that has been currently to date the only official general fund given for the match. We've handled it all through other budgetary means within the Secretary of State currently. So, and I'll let Nitin talk.
The current development contract in place between Sabre and the Secretary of State is for $4.2 million. That's the overall cost for the development and implementation of the project.
So if I understand what you're saying, then it's kind of an in-kind. In other words, what's in your budget already, that's being credited towards the 5% match. So all the rest of it, such as the 4.2 for the contract development, that's all being paid with HAVA dollars.
Correct.
So once this thing's up and online ahead of schedule, what are we looking at for maintenance costs?
The maintenance costs are going to be $750,000 a year, rising by 5% a year. That is for platinum support from Sabre to the Secretary of State's office and the counties, and what that includes is a very comprehensive level of support. In essence, the entire system will be outsourced to Sabre with oversight from Secretary of State. So we'll be providing county help desks. The counties will be able to call and get any kind of help, password reset, functional help. If they've hired a new employee and they're very busy, they're not able to train this new employee, it'll be our responsibility to train them. So full service to the county. So the help desk is one element. The other element of it is application support. That money also includes that if federal law changes in terms of elections, if the state law changes, or if business processes in the counties change, we will be modifying the application with no upper limit on the number of changes per month or per year that may be requested. And the third element of that support is managing, maintaining, and monitoring the infrastructure, all the security, the databases, the networking, to ensure proactively that, in fact, the counties will continue to have the connectivity to the system that they need for 24/7 operation. During peak election periods, which we're defining as several weeks before an election, about 5 or 6 weeks, and 3 weeks after an election, the help desk will be manned on a 24/7 basis. The security monitoring will be manned on a 24/7 basis throughout the year. So there will be somebody in our office looking at all the security equipment that's in place, and there's considerable amounts, to ensure that there's, you know, nobody attacking, if you will, the server racks or any of the server equipment. Above and that, beyond, I think there's about $50,000 a year of support to the software vendors to ensure that the database support and the operating system support is also going on. So third-party software will be about another $50,000 to $75,000 a year, I believe.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does your firm have a contract with the state for a certain period of time? I mean, you sounded pretty certain about $750,000 a year with a 5% annual increase.
The support was requested in the RFP itself. So the development RFP also requested support. Since then, you know, we proposed a certain level of support, and it's been negotiated since then, and the costs have been modified. The intent is to sign a contract for 5 years and provide a service level agreement for those 5 years.
Follow-up, please, Mr.
Please,
Chairman.
Continue.
And I appreciate your answers are very clear. I appreciate that. Now, these three remote sites, or I'm sorry, yeah, the three sites, Salem, Burns, and Eugene, is your company actually going to have people in those places, or is somebody else going to be maintaining the platform and making sure it keeps running and it's backed up properly and all that?
Correct. Actually, Representative Burley, that's an excellent question. One of the things I forgot to mention earlier is that we're delivering the service through a consortium of Oregon firms. So we have two other partners here in Oregon, Helion Consulting and Chavs. These two firms have been providing services to counties for the last 20 years. So we are within an hour of every county seat in Oregon. We have either ourselves, a Sabre, or one of our partners has employees and staff. And so we ourselves will be managing Burns, Eugene, and Salem without really anybody outside this teaming agreement that we have with Helion and Chavs and Sabre.
Another follow-up, Representative Burns.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Cromwell, you had waited for a question?
No, I'm fine.
One of the things we're looking at with other computer systems in the state. Now, if I understand this correctly, the counties are responsible for the voting process. The counties are going to be recipients of the registration process. Is it the counties that are going to, when the process is, when your firm is done, we're up and running, and we're now in a maintenance mode, is it the counties that will do the maintenance?
Both the counties will use the maintenance for the help desk portion of it. But the Secretary of State will also have the maintenance in terms of the Server Act maintenance and the application changes. Certain application changes will be mandated by federal and state law. Others will be mandated by the counties. So it's a considerable amount of support is going to the counties. I'd say probably two-thirds to three-quarters of that contract, and about a third to less than a quarter is going for the Silver Racks maintenance.
When the transition time takes place, will the counties, and with Scenic, we're looking at savings. And my understanding is that we have, with the 36 counties, 36 certainly not different systems, but different variations. They would all be uniform now. Will there be a savings to the counties because they have adopted this system?
Chair Dallum, some counties will see a savings, to be honest. Some counties will not. Some of the counties, their systems are fairly old, and they don't have maintenance contracts or... You know, so they are getting a better system, and with that, some of their maintenance costs are, because of this maintenance cost, the maintenance are going to be shared between the counties and the state. The state will pay part of that fee, and then the counties will pay a portion of it. And some of them will be receiving a savings, and some of them will not. And I don't have the details on that, but.
I'm very sensitive to what we do to the counties. They're strapped. They're not like us. They don't have millions and billions. Do you have some sort of a sense of which counties will be strapped or which will be expected to lay out additional revenue for this project once we move to the maintenance stage? Do you have any idea who those are?
Well, Chair Dallum, we are working really closely with the counties to develop an intergovernmental agreement with them on that. Counties that there are a couple of counties that have did just purchase new systems, so they're getting a credit for their maintenance. They're not going to have to pay into the maintenance for a while. We're trying to be as equitable and as fair as we can be. There is an intergovernmental agreement committee that involves county attorneys and county clerks and then state attorneys and our state employees, and then there is also a finance committee for the overall HAVA fund that includes county clerks, and they're looking at that. And so we're trying to be as sensitive to that. We realize that they don't have a lot of money, so we're trying to work with them to make this as affordable so that it is a system that they want to have.
Some of my counties don't have any money, don't have a lot of. But anyway, I would be very interested in seeing the impact on a county-by-county list so that... that there is an impact, and an impact in Wheeler County is a whole lot different than an impact in Multnomah County, and I'd be very interested in seeing that. I'd like to then go to the state side of the equation, and again, keeping in mind that with Scenic, we are going to save, at least by projections, $10 million, and we're told that's a very conservative figure. When this system is implemented, will the state, by virtue of the fact that we're now we've now moved into the 21st century, will we save money or will we spend money?
Well, Chair Dallum, actually we will spend money because the state hasn't ever had a voter system. There's been 36 of them in all different counties, and the state elections hasn't had access to them. They haven't had to. We haven't had to maintain them. We haven't had to develop them. So actually the state is incurring more additional costs than the counties are because they've always had voter registration and election management systems.
Do you know what kind of a figure that would be when turnkey is made and we're out of the federal grant money? What kind of a continuing expense are we looking at the state level? Do you have any notion of what that might be?
No, I know that we've done some cost analysis of how long the federal money will last with all the other HAVA programs that they want to fund out of those. I can get you that. We have some projections on that. I think it's like, I may be wrong, but I think it's like 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. But I'll get you that.
Thank you. And if you would get that to Dallas, he would share that with the entire committee. And we have another question. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering about the maintenance component. Will that include purging of the voter rolls of folks who may no longer be active voters or may have moved or may have deceased or may have changed addresses or I don't know, whatever, all other?
The system will follow all the rules, policies, procedures, and laws of Oregon voter registration and election management. So as per the law, the system's already set up to purge those appropriate voters, either do a full purge or save them off to disk or not have them active and shown up in the system. It totally depends on the voter's status and why they entered that status. For example, some voters become inactive because they haven't voted in two straight federal elections. Well, they will become inactive but stay in the system. Other voters, because they've deceased, will be totally purged from the system and so on. So there's a set of rules and policies that the system does follow to purge the voters.
Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
And how often would that purge occur?
The purge occurs on a real-time basis. The HAVA law requires us to interface with certain third-party agencies, the most important one being the DMV, but also to check with vital statistics to ensure people, in fact, are alive and are not dead and so on. So as frequently as that interface occurs, which if it's once a day, then this purge would happen once a day and so on.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Burley.
If somebody hasn't voted in two federal elections and they go inactive, how do you know they didn't decease?
Because then we're also checking against the vital statistics records to make sure that they haven't, in fact, deceased, and then they'd be purged.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair, thank you. I want to go back to the maintenance costs just to make sure that we're all clear on what this is. The consortium now, we've got a consortium here, and we've got $750,000 per year, so that's to cover the consortium and the maintenance and all that. Then did I understand correctly that you said the counties were going to be assessed some sort of a fee to help pay for the maintenance?
Yes.
But that's inside.
I see one yes and one no.
That's correct. Out of this, they won't pay over and above the 750. The 750 would be distributed across to the county.
Okay, so the 750 is not HAVA money.
It is HAVA.
Is that
right?
Part of it is HAVA money. Correct. Part of it is HAVA money. Half of it is HAVA money. Half of it is state funds coming in.
Okay. And when you say half is state funds, that's what's being assessed to the counties?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
That's all I had, Mr. Chairman, except to say that I would like very much to take them up on their invitation to see this early in March. Appreciate that.
Will that be in the Capitol?
Yes, it will. Two separate hearing rooms here in the Capitol. We'll be getting out invitations.
But we may go during committee time if scheduled permits. Are there any other questions? I do have a few other logistical questions. I'm fairly confident that I understand that electronically we will have every voter in Oregon in the system. The system will then purge based on vital statistics. The system will purge based on voting records. The system will re-regulate if a voter were to move from one district to another. Then the last, and that should be updated almost daily. So when you go to the county and get a list of registered voters today, and if you go tomorrow, it could conceivably be changed. So then the mechanical question I have is when it comes voting day, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, when will who voted with our vote by mail process, when will the who's voted be posted to the system, and is there a separation between those two, or is that an integrated process?
Chair Dallum, as we mentioned earlier, it is an integrated system between voter registration and election management. So as per the law, the election workspace is pulled on the day by which we need to make sure that this is the voter roll for the state. And that's when ballots are generated. When ballots are generated, as they come in, the counties, depending on their business processes, most of them on a daily basis, are entering the fact whether the ballot was returned or not. So the only thing we know of is what's on the outside of the envelope. So they match the signature to the voter registration record. The enter the fact that the ballot was returned, and then the actual ballot moves on to the tally machine. If, in fact, the voter requested a second ballot or they're requesting absentee ballots above and beyond the vote by mail, that also is right there in front of the user of the system when they're looking at it, so they can say, hey, this person already returned. Even though they requested two ballots, one of them's been returned, and here I have a second ballot. And again, there's business processes to handle that. So all of that happens in most counties on a very real-time basis, but we do lock the election workspace, and by that I mean the definition of what the voter registration list across the state looks like on a specific date and time, which is when we are polling the voters. Even though changes may keep occurring after that point, for that election, that's the valid list, and that's where the voters are voting. We also, as part of the Hava law, have the provisional ballot opportunity that voters have. So if between that day and another day they move to another county and somehow get another ballot, again, this is one of the advantages of the system in terms of preventing fraud. Again, only one ballot will count, and that too depends on the law, you know, if they're casting a provisional ballot or a real ballot. So
that provisional ballot, which so troubled other states in this past election, we should be able to minimize provisional ballots with this system.
Actually, the technical lead, if you will, that the state of Oregon holds over other states by having a vote-by-mail election already minimizes the concept of the provisional ballot. I mean, that alone is a huge advantage for the state of Oregon. But the system actually would ensure very real-time statistics. For example, as you recall, this other state said we need 2, 3, 4 weeks to figure out who voted where and whether that was accurate. This system would be able to tell you very, very quickly after an election which the valid ballots were and which were the valid provisionals, which were the invalid provisional ballots.
The mechanics on the election again. We have the vote in, we have the vote, we have who turned their vote in tabulated, and now a separate system will kick in and count the ballots.
Correct.
And the state's part in that play or that program is minimal other than collecting results on election night.
Correct.
Will the two ever be married, or can I say to people in my district, registration is one process, voting is another?
Yes, I, Chair Dallum, I have not heard any plans to marry those two.
So that when an election is challenged, or if somebody wants to question the count, that still is driven back into the county clerk and recorder's office?
Correct.
Okay. Any other? Yes, Representative Cromwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned the interfacing with vital statistics. I guess the first question is, when probably the one that causes the most strife, and that is, well, there's two, which is one is moving and the other is dying, which are both very stressful in any case.
One's terminal.
Yeah, one's terminal. And
yeah, moving can be tough.
Have you ever noticed, though, how we all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there? If with that interfacing, particularly with vital stats, then so a person dies in John Day, how long does it take for the notification of a death certificate or of a death to get, for example, from John Day to Salem, Oregon, to the vital statistics office, and then from the vital statistics office over to the elections office in terms of voter registration? And is that going to be an automated process?
Representative Crummell, no, it's not going to be an automated process, because when they were working on the requirements with the counties and working on the standards, the counties determined that they did that better than having a electronic connection between the two systems. They currently look at obituaries every day, and some of them are right there where the deaths are recorded, so they have that information. And the county clerks actually decided not to have that be an electronic interface because the system wasn't as reliable as how they do it manually now.
Of course, I guess I'll follow up, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
It would be electronically, I guess it would be a lot easier for, you know, somebody to hack into a system and show Mike Freeze as being deceased, and if they actually witnessed it, yes. Correct?
Correct. So.
Okay. Follow-up question. What about moving? So a person moves and they really only have a concern if they've moved from one precinct to a different precinct. I mean, I know that we need to have the correct address, but if somebody moved within the same precinct, it's not as big of an issue as if somebody moves from one precinct to another, which of course is the most common move. I mean,
correct.
So in that kind of a situation, though, when somebody moves, and so they're registered to vote, they have not quite updated things yet, and the ballots aren't supposed to be forwarded. How is that interface correct? Ballots don't get
correct.
Forwarded, right?
Correct.
So how is that going to then interface, is it going to be activated when the person themselves self-reports, or is it going to be, particularly if there's been a purchase involved, which has now gone through a recording process in the county offices, is there going to be a process for there to be a notification that way?
Representative Krimmel, I honestly don't know. I can find that out for you, but I don't know how that's handled. Have you heard?
Yeah, the primary method for that, the way that's handled, is when the voter submits a new voter registration card. Because that's when we know they in fact have moved, they have a new address, and to send out ballots to this new address. because any other method, the counties are very sensitive to losing voters, if you will. So they want to make sure they're only losing a voter when, in fact, the other county clerk has a voter registration card. There was considerable discussion during the requirements phase whether we should push a voter out of a precinct or a county or pull one in. Because of the way that it works at the voter's level, the decision was made that we would pull it in, because the voter, in fact, is not going to inform the old county clerk. They're just going to send the new county clerk the new voter registration card. So the only thing the new county clerk can do is update their address, pull them into their county, and at that point the county that's losing the voter gets a notification that this new county has just taken this voter. If you know of any other reason why in fact this voter has not moved, you know, you can discuss that with the other county. But outside of that, I think the counties would be very sensitive of having any other process that moves a voter from one address to another.
So may I follow up?
Follow up.
So then It's really based on self-reporting, which I understand that we all need to take some responsibility ourselves for having the correct information out there. But and what this is really designed to do is so that if Representative Witt decides to move from Scappoose down to Tillamook, two separate counties.
There goes my seat.
Oh, okay. Well, let's make it Seaside then? No, Astoria. Anyway, different county. I'm trying to get you into a different county. Well, maybe a different seat. Different county, anyway.
Well,
sorry, Mr. Chair. Then is but gets to a different county. And so he has registered there. So it's to make certain that Representative Witt doesn't get a ballot from both counties and votes twice. Is that really, that's really what we're after here, correct?
Correct.
That's really what the law is designed to ensure, is a single voter record across the state. So when he moves from one county to another, we do not generate another record. We, in fact, just move his pointer from county A to county B, so he can't be in both counties at the same time.
And okay. Representative Krimmel, currently what they have to do now, the counties have to do, is if you move from one county to the next and you go to your new county and give them a new ballot, you know, voter registration, they enter you in their system. So you get entered in Marion County. You've moved from Polk County. There's a delay because Marion County has to then contact Polk County and say, you need to take them out of your system. Mm-hmm. Because he's now in my system. Well, this will eliminate that, because Marion County can pull up the registration and move them to Marion because they have that new registration card. Because it'll be one system.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in that example, my original signature card then will reside in my current county of residence?
Correct.
And the advantage of this system, again, is that that card gets immediately scanned centrally. So everybody's looking at your signature.
So everyone can access it, but there is an original in the county of residence as well.
Right.
Okay. Thank
as
you.
As well as the ability to hold multiple cards. So as you update it, we have
that. Thank you.
And Representative Burley, I'm sorry I moved you down in the queue.
No, that's quite all right. No worries. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to follow up and comment. I mean, the key to this thing working is that there's only one record in this database for every registered voter. And if you change counties or whatever the case is, as you update your voter registration card, they just go in and change, as he said, the pointer or the code for the county precinct. And that's the whole idea I'm trying to help cut down on the duplication of voter registrations. And then on your cutoff date, the mailing labels are generated based on the most updated, purged, updated set of addresses. Really, actually, a very simple application and concept. But you did remind me of another question I'd forgotten earlier, and that is with respect to security, all the different county clerk's offices are going to be accessing this thing over, a dedicated wide area network, or how are they going to access that so that we're ensuring that type of security?
With regard to the communication between every county, the three centers were chosen because they are on the state's backbone. The state's Delco backbone, I guess that's procured through DAS-IRMD. But every session between the county and the server is twice encrypted. So we're calling it a tunnel within a tunnel technology. So even if a hacker is sitting outside of that network and somehow able to what they call sniff or look at the data going back and forth over the connection, they have to break through two encryption mechanisms to in fact look at the content of the data. So it would be much easier for them to go down to the county clerk's office and just pull that record up than even try to break into this encrypted network.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Of course, according to the hackers, not as much fun, but it would be more.
I have one other question, and let me check with the committee. Are there any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other concerns? And I would like to ask, one of the things that this committee is designed to do is to consolidate and eliminate, push consolidate IT, and then eliminate duplication, eliminate any excess funding we can. And so my question would be, and I certainly don't want to provide you the answer in this, but has there been any contact with Mike, with Mr. Fleming and the Department of Administrations to see if perhaps this system couldn't be married with the present system and find some savings there? And if you have contacted the Department of Administrative Services to see if you might become part of our effort, for what reasons did you not join the effort?
Chair Dellum, what effort are you talking about?
The state of Oregon is now engaged, and this committee is charged with consolidating information and technology on a statewide level.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for consolidating is as simple as it sounds. We can eliminate duplication. We can be quicker, faster, smarter. Mm-hmm. We can save money. And it appears as though on the surface of things that we are building another IT system that is outside of that loop. And I'm sure that the good office of the Secretary of State checked with the Department of Administration, particularly Mr. Fleming and Mike back there, to see if there was perhaps a reason why, and there must have been a reason not to join this system, and I'd like to know why you are not part of the Scenic system, because I'm sure it was ruled out for good reason.
Well, Mike can talk to this if he would like. We did work with Department of Administrative Services to find a Salem site, and Scenic, of course, was one of the sites that we did look to put it in, but they weren't ready for us yet. And so that is not ruled out at all. And then in choosing our other two sites, we did choose, we needed geographical sites. We couldn't have all three in Salem. That was a driving factor. And so Scenic is not ruled out for us. We found another home for the RAC because Scenic wasn't ready yet. So, and then working with DAS, Burns, the Archive Center, it's already set up. They have staff there. It's secured. Lottery is in there as well. So it was a logical site for one of our, and it's also, you know, in a remote area of the state. So that's how that one was picked. And we've worked with DAS every step of the way to bring that facility so that it's ready for our servers.
Do I understand correctly that then when the site is prepared, you will move there?
The scenic site?
Will you move to the scenic site when Champa?
We don't have any plans for doing that, but we're not ruling that out. If they're ready to, if we can put it in there, we will put it in there.
Would there be any savings to that?
I don't know.
I personally would like to know that conversation took place and that you have good reason for saying that you may or may not. And there are a million reasons. And I don't want to answer my own question, but I can see all sorts of mischief created with the kind of information you have. But I would still like to know a definitive reason for why it was determined that you are going to move or you aren't going to move to the scenic site.
Well, Chair Dallum, there is no decision if we are or we're not.
Would you review that and make a decision?
Yep. Sure.
And then let us know what you're going to do,
okay.
Yeah, up or down.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Any other questions? One more. Representative Witt, you have one.
I'm sorry, no, I'm saying...
He was waving to Representative Burley.
He's waving to the masses in the crowd.
We have said that we would have an opportunity for public comment. Is there anyone in the area that would like to speak to this issue before the committee adjourns? Yes. Excuse me for the informality, but for the record, Mike, will you identify yourself?
I think he's coming up to state that he has not passed away, and
he's still a regular.
Any rumors there too are overly exaggerated.
I apologize to those people giving testimony. I do not have control of this committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Freese, Deputy State Chief Information Officer, and his representative Crumlin indicated, to paraphrase Mark Twain, yes, rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. So, as you can see, I'm here before you. I'd like to say a couple of things about this initiative. One of the things is that what the Secretary of State is undertaking, or has undertaken and undertaken very successfully here, is one of the most difficult things you can do, which is an application project. And to make it more complex, what they're dealing with is multiple stakeholders, counties, that they must get in agreement on this project. I think they have done actually a magnificent job of doing that. In fact, where they are today is a testament to how well they've managed that project. Now, we have been working with them from the beginning of the project to take a look at networking requirements, to talk with them about the decision, for instance, to use a distributed architecture, which in this case was the wisest thing to do. This system is designed with multiple nodes that communicate with each other. It's what we would categorize as a highly fault-tolerant system, so if one of those goes down for an extended period of time, the whole system continues to work. And that's really critical during an election, and also it's really critical because one little-known fact is that when you get into geographically remote areas, you know, the physical infrastructure tends to have single points of failure. So when you get into geographically remote areas, somebody with a backhoe can perform some unintentional surgery on a fiber connection and you're down for several days until somebody can bring it back up. This system's designed to continue to work in the event of that kind of a problem during an election. With respect to scenic, I have already had contact from the Secretary of State's office with respect to the hosting facility, and if they were to move that the Salem node into the hosting facility, it's what we would call a co-location. They would not move into the shared infrastructure because of the way the system is designed, but certainly they could fit on the data center floor. We would work with them to analyze the relative benefits of that. Potential savings might be that it would free up space that's currently fitted for information technology hosting that could be repurposed, but we don't know that. We have no factual basis today on which to tell you what the right decision is. We will work with them, though, to arrive at that conclusion.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike? Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony, your time, and we look forward to seeing the system and being some of the first to get to fool with it.
Play with it.
Are there any other questions for anyone? If not, we will adjourn this meeting.
I now have the agenda.